Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? And welcome to the Churros y Tácticas podcast. It is Tuesday, the 10th of May, and we are here to discuss match day 36 of La Liga Santander, where Barça managed to walk away with an emphatic victory in an electrifying match that had something to play for, at least in the case of Betis and Barça. Barça's first primary objective has been reached. We've qualified for the Champions League automatically. We're back in the top flight of the European competition, while Betis was, of course, looking to ice their cake, so to speak, by trying to make a run for the Champions League spot. But it was a good game. I'm here to discuss it with Kian Sobani, as well as that decaf that was the Madrileño derby, where, well, the Madridistas, as you would have expected, were having a chuckle on the sidelines while Atletico was literally playing for their life. Penalty it was. They walk away with the Real Madrid with the L in build-up of the Champions League final. Kian, how you doing, my man? The world is going crazy, but here we are to discuss La Liga matters once again.
Well, you say in the build-up to the Champions League final, but it's still so far away. I mean, we have two games left until that game, and we have just so much time left still to discuss that Champions League final. But you're right. I mean, this is a decaf derby is a good way of putting it. I like the imagery of the decaf derby, certainly for one side anyway. I was thinking about today just randomly. I was driving and I started laughing. Turn the volume down.
You're gaining a little bit. Thank you.
I'm glad you told me now. How's this?
Better.
Better? Okay. I'm glad you told me now. Sometimes I don't realize until after recording. So I like that. I like that you have the common sense to do that. I was driving this morning and I randomly thought of, because I was looking at the schedule, and we have Real Betis in the last match day, which may mean nothing by then for both teams, because it's possible by that time Betis can't get into the Champions League, and obviously for Real Madrid it doesn't mean anything. And I just remember, I had a flashbulb remembrance of after the Clásico. I think it was the first Churros after the Clásico, where you started to like rub your hands together. You were like, ooh, that last match day against Betis. Betis are good. You know, at that time, Barca will be surging back. We can win the league on last match day. And lo and behold, don't matter. But congrats for qualifying for the Champions League. I actually assume that this Barca team will be, from a squad perspective, will be much different than the one we see this season. What do you think? Like, I would envision, like, what, like eight people would be gone from the squad? Is that too far reaching, or?
Right, so I think it was Mundo Deportivo, if not Sport, that came out with an article today where they were talking about Xavi's list, right, of 7 players that he wants in and 10 that he wants out. You can imagine he was asked about it in a press conference as well, in a build-up of this Getafe Barça, and he was quite honest I should say Celta. I'm already thinking about the next one, Celta Barça, the one tonight. he was very honest in saying, well, look, you know, I have my list. So, you know, my list is done. The players who have convinced me and not convinced me, I have pretty clear idea who those are. There are still three match days left, and I'm going to, you know, implement some rotations most likely. But I have a pretty clear idea of who I want to work with next season, you know, and who I'm going to ask to depart. So, of course, the papers have to come out with their list. I haven't gone over the list. It's not practice in Barca Studios to start making speculative lists of players that can go in or out. But, you know, I don't know. I think we all have a clear idea of who the players could be, in particular the ones going out, of course. And there's definitely, you know, three or four big clues as to new players that are most likely going to come in.
I have the list, and I'm allowed to say it. If you're not, so I can read. I just, for our listeners' sake, maybe they'll be interested. I know we have so many colleagues who listen to this podcast now. So the names that that I saw in that report, which of course I can't really find. Okay, here.
Xavi's list brought to you by Manscaped. Save 20% using the promo code Churros on your Manscaped products.
That's right. These are the players that Xavi reportedly wants out. Neto, Longley, Umtiti, Mingesa, Ricky Pooch. Man, the poor Pooch. Pooch, I hope, has a good career somewhere. Braithwaite, Adama Traore, and Luke de Jong. And the report also states that Memphis and Frankie, if a good offer comes, they'll consider it. But they're not on the list, quote, you know, the quote-unquote transfer list. So that sounds right. I don't know how much that affects the squad next season, but obviously it opens up room for other players that Xavi does want. And Umtiti is one that I just wonder, like, who will take that contract on? That's an interesting one. Adama, I assume, just goes back to Wolves because that was a loan spell.
Just is contract renewed as well, right? Adama. Umtiti, that is.
Umtiti,
yeah. Remember,
was he one of the ones that was renewed at a lower salary?
Lowered his salary.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Well, I suppose Barca fans should be thankful to him for that. That's something that he obviously didn't have to do, but that just makes it easier for another team to come along and maybe swallow the contract, right? So
that's exactly it.
Yeah. I'm still of the camp of, despite these struggles of Xavi of late, I think that he is still going to be a really good coach, and I have to stand by it. My word and your word, we all said that his real season starts next season, and I'm going to stick by that.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Did you see the game against Betis? Clearly not.
I chose to watch Liverpool versus Tottenham instead. Ah, I just, like, at that point, I was like, this game really means nothing to me. And I need to scout Liverpool, our Champions League final opponent. And I learned a lot from watching that game. So I just had to.
The question now is, did you text it to Carleto? Because he needs all the help of yours that he can get. Because he has no clue.
He doesn't need my help. He's not reading my tactical articles. He's praying. He's praying to the gods. Right now he's in a room. It's a dark room, and there's candles everywhere, and there's devil signs, and there's 666 everywhere. That's what he's doing. He doesn't read tactical articles.
What is that, talking in tongues? What do they call that again?
Isn't I don't know what the hell you're tongues? Talking about, or what you just did with your mouth.
But what these crazy fanatic Americans do, the evangelicalists.
I don't know. Now this is getting off the rails a little bit.
Help me out here.
We're going to offend someone. We're going to offend the devil worshippers.
I don't mind. I will take the blame. Anyway, that's exactly what's going on. But to get back to your point, I understand why you would choose that match. How did it finish?
The Liverpool game?
Yeah.
It was super interesting because, I mean, I'm so impressed with Liverpool in so many ways. And one of the takeaways that I've had watching Liverpool this season sporadically, but now that I'm diving into them more now for the scouting reports and knowing what our opponent looks like, it's one of those teams that, oddly, I find, and I don't know if this aspect of it has been talked about, but it almost seems to me they're the kind of team that enjoy losing the ball. because when they lose the ball, they win it right back and they just get into a better position for that reason. Like, I mean, the Tottenham to me in that game defended Liverpool as well as you can possibly defend Liverpool when Liverpool just have the ball coming out of the back and they're passing it around trying to find space. Tottenham closed the lines. But, and that forced Liverpool into these weird forced passes into the box to Mane that was, they had no chance of hitting him because he was heavily marked. But they would just almost just kick it in the box and then Tottenham would get it. And then within 2 seconds, Liverpool win the ball back with intensity and then they have a better chance to score than they originally had. So it's almost like they enjoyed giving the ball away because they win it right back into a better position. Having said that, Tottenham drew that game. And despite not being able to get out of their half, they still generated multiple good counterattacking opportunities. And if Real Madrid go that route, then, you know, they have the formula of really good players in transition who can score difficult chances like Kane and Son. So they can go that formula if they want. Obviously, Tottenham have been City's bogey team as well with that style of football. So I don't know what Ancelotti decides to do, though. It's still a little bit too early for me to start thinking about it, but...
It's not. Surely you got to be thinking about it every day. I'd imagine you're thinking about it.
I suppose I do think about it a lot. I just need UEFA to get me this damn accreditation. I applied 2 days ago. Now I'm just waiting, and I need to book the flight. And the later it takes, the more expensive it's going to be. So I'm just hoping UEFA get back to me on that. You should join me in Paris for some croissants if that happens.
I thought you were going to say champagne. Champagne. Champagne.
I'll do the croissants, you do the champagne. It'll be the yin to the yang, the churros to the tacticas. You should do it.
Not even if you win your 14th, would you drink a glass of champs?
Why?
A glass of boble?
I don't see the point because then I just don't remember.
Celebration.
I want to remember celebrating. I want to remember. I want my brain cells to be functioning so I can remember
You heard it here first, folks. Kia Sobani blanks out after one glass of bubbly.
I mean, it's over. Would that not happen to me for someone who doesn't drink?
No. You're talking one little silly little glass. My God. Half of it, you're probably like spill on somebody else because you're celebrating your 14th. Whee!
If I don't get the accreditation, you should come to Toronto. If I do get it, you should come.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, the way the markets are going currently, that trip is a miles off. Has been, and a lot of other plans have been postponed. So unless the good folks managing Madrid want to sponsor, then I would happily fly over.
Shit is expensive, man. I'm basically getting charged to breathe at this point. It's like it cost me $3 million to put gas in my car. And then I have to do, like, when I check out, it's like, oh, you've breathed 30 breaths during this gas pump. You also have to pay for the breaths that you took. Everything is just off the rails. Anyways, we should talk about football.
Betis Barça, I keep trying to talk to you about it.
Please tell me.
It was a great game.
Okay.
No, it really was. It was a really, really good game of football where it was two teams that were clear in their mission to go for the 3 points. Both teams wanted the win. Both teams had good chances as well. There was drama early on when Claudio Bravo got injured and was substituted by Portuguese Rui Silva, a fine goalkeeper. Both the ex-Barça man and the substitute, as he blocked, he had a massive block on Araujo, who had an early chance to give Barça the 1-0. But then Betis, you know, came back. They were not intimidated. You could tell that the crowd, it was the first time they were playing in front of their crowd after winning the Copa del Rey. So you can imagine, you know, with the Sevilla fair that had just been happening, them winning the Copa, the atmosphere was just, it was amazing. It was electric. It was fun. It was typical Sevillano. I had a nice chat with David Whitworth about it in the pregame, and man, I was just, you know, the atmosphere there is something different, man. It's something that you and I haven't really gotten to experience yet, despite the historic nights that we have lived of our teams up close and personal. There they just seem, it's another level for even a league game where basically, like I said, the cherry on the top for them was qualifying for the Champions League. 3 points against Barca would have been huge, cut the distance with Barca down to five. possibly leapfrog Atletico. Of course, they also won against Madrid, but so they were going for the win. And Barça, we were going for the win because we're Barça, because we wanted to automatically qualify for the Champions League and secure the second spot and pride and you know, play good football. So I think there was an improvement in this game from what we had seen before in terms of the team, in terms of the team's intensity, in terms of the team's intensity. Because, you know, that was something that's been visibly lacking from this team in the games like against, you know, Rayo, Cadiz, obviously, but also Levantes and Mallorca. So the ambience itself probably demanded the best version of these players, which we have seen. You know, the thing is with this football team, with this squad, is that it's like, hey, we've seen you guys play better football. We know you can do it. Just do it. You know what I mean? It's like, and then when they're pressed to do it and yeah, really bring their A game and at least play intense football. There's still a lot of mistakes, and Xavi's unhappy with unforced errors, and take nothing away from this Betis side neither, who quite frankly are a really, really good team, Keon. We talked about it as well, that this is what we had been waiting for, right? This version of Juanmi and Canales and Fekir and just playing really good football. Guido had a shot on the post. So in the end, an epic goal. Again, I don't know. Did you not see the goals neither?
Nope.
Oh my God. So you really missed out, bro.
I've just been immersed in work. Yeah, crazy.
Okay, well, let me break it down. Ansu comes in. I think it was around the 70th minute mark. He got a few more minutes. Comes in. What does he do? What does Ansu do when he comes onto the field? He scores fucking goals on his first touch. So that's what he did again. He scored the 1-0. It was, I don't know if it was his first touch. I think it was his first touch, if not his second. But it was, didn't get the cleanest hit. But hey, a goal's a goal. And, you know, beat a very informed Rui Silva with his first touch. So, you know, great time. But it was not until 2 minutes later, literally 2-3 minutes later, where Marc Bartra, of all people, shoulders the goal for Betis, equaling the, you know, leveling the play field once again. So 1-1 it was after just 2-3 minutes. So, and then it was like a sense of like, okay, what are we going to do now? Are we going to see this team bajar los brazos, you know, drop their shoulders, or are they going to continue to go for the win? And they did. It was back and forth, fun for the fan that likes exciting football, nightmare for the coaches. But in the final play of the game, Dani Alves lobs it over to the defensive line into the box, and Jordi Alba is there to run onto it and just volley it into the back of the net. Fucking literally the last, it was the 94th minute or so, the last play of the game to win it. So it was, yeah, big, you know, massive 3 points at the buzzer. And good times.
That was a huge game. I mean, if it wasn't for Liverpool, the Liverpool game, I would have watched that one instead, obviously. And I was talking to Jeremy of Into the Calderon because we were doing a podcast like half hour before that Betis game. And I was looking at them like, man, if Betis somehow win that, that changes things a lot because it puts pressure on both Atleti and Barca. Obviously, Sevilla too, to an extent, but yeah, it changes the complexion a lot. But the fact that they lost that game also just puts things to bed a little bit in some sense. But I was going to ask you if you, like from here on in, would you like to see now some of the young players play the remaining couple games or three games or whatever it is that is left? Or do you worry a little bit that you might not hold on to that second place in case Sevilla comes in? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no. There's no time. I mean, there's a time for rotations and stuff like that. And that's in the preseason where you want to see the young'uns and you know, bring them in little by little, step by step. And at this point, we're still, for Barca, a lot to ride. There's still a lot riding on this season to finish in second. And it's not secured yet, so.
Yeah. I mean, if you win your
next
game.
It'd be different if we're winning 3-0. also, right? Or if we're like tonight, we're beating Celta 3, you know, but Celta's always tough, man. We, you know,
yep.
They beat us last time at the Camp Nou. We drew 3-3. They came back from 3 down. Yep. We were winning 3-0 at halftime last time in Balaidos, and then they came back to finish at 3-3 in the final play. So,
you mentioned Betis and the atmosphere and stuff. My goal next year is to stop doing some of these live podcasts, probably just stop doing them and just focus on Real Madrid games and going to a lot of more away games. I haven't experienced enough away games, and Benito Villamarín and Sanchez Pizjuan, those are my two at the top of the list I really, really, really want to go to. I mean, it's hard to find better than that in Spain or in Europe for that matter. I mean, those two are on big nights. It's special. I'd love to go there. And Camp Nou, obviously. Definitely. Camp Nou, I'm gonna go to Camp Nou next season. Mm. The problem with Camp Nou is that we always miss the train because you need like to apply to it 30 days in advance. Like no one else does that for it. But I guess it's because it's classic or whatever. But so we always so just miss it. Down. But
Well. I mean, it's crazy that in all these years, you've never come to the Camp Nou, for sure. You've never been.
I mean, I've just seen it outside, but that was as a tourist, like years ago before I was a journalist or anything. And I've never been inside, no.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and remember that you're only allowed in the Sanchez-Pizjuan until you actually know how to pronounce it properly. So you might want to practice that as well. That's part of the test. You don't get accreditation until you actually pronounce Pizjuan.
Hey man, I went years with calling him Ricky Puig. So
that's not true. You've been, I've corrected you on your big slip ups early on.
Ronald
had
Coleman.
Many years to practice.
Ronald Pizjuan. Coleman.
So
we're not all born into doing Dutch accents and Portuguese accents and German accents. We're not all born into that.
Why not? We should all do that.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Barcelona and Real Madrid target Erling Haaland has gone to Manchester City. How do we feel? Do we give each other bro hugs here?
I feel relieved. Less relieved, of course, knowing that you're still going to sign Mbappe, who is chilling, having some nice luncheroski with Ashraf. While oddly enough, Al Khalifi was a few restaurants down the other block, also doing something with the club's union and whatnot. But so yeah, you must be, I mean, obviously it's going to be a good summer for Real Madrid, winning La Liga, winning champion number 14, and you get your icing on the cake in the form of Mbappe. City get Haaland, so I'm super relieved because my fear was that he was going to go to Real Madrid. It was pretty clear that we were out of the running sort of when Mino, rest in peace, started saying, you know, it'll be a stretch. And we heard Laporta also say we're not going to put the club in jeopardy. But now, did you see that article where City are claiming he cost them 60 millis? 60 millis.
When I saw the numbers, it looked unbelievably reasonable. And
No, 60 million is impossible. Because his buyout clause was 75. How the fuck are they going to get him for even less? You know, there's and a lot of fishy stuff going on already.
Well, I think that just that was just to activate the clause, right? I mean, I'd have to look at it again. But when you looked at the salary and the fees and everything, it just seemed like a reasonable sum for an incredible player. And I don't know what the exact story behind it is. And obviously sometimes the numbers are different from what they're publicly revealed, but from what those numbers said, it was a very reasonable thing. And I wonder what, because if those numbers are true, I don't think finances would have been a barrier for Real Madrid. If it came down to that, Haaland would have just said, I'd rather play for City. I think it probably is what it came down to in that case.
I mean, it, may I remind you that we paid, was it 51 million? Let's call it 50 million for Ferran Torres. So they used Torres money to buy Haaland.
Well, so that's why I'm saying it seemed oddly reasonable, because it's cheaper than Rudiger too. I mean, it's just in terms of the fee, And so I don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't really add up. I mean, and the release clause is very reasonable too, because he has a long term contract. I will say this.
What is it?
It was like 60, 70 million or something City put on it, which was apparently the compromise, because Haaland wants to sign a 5-year contract. And they were like, okay, if you want a long contract like that, then, City wanted a longer term contract. And Haaland was like, if you want a long-term contract,
I got you.
Put a lower release clause. So if I want out, someone can actually get me out of here. It seemed, weirdly reasonable. And I will say this from the pure sporting perspective. I really wanted to sign Haaland. Having said that, it's not an urgent signing. It would be a good signing, but I understand the tactical challenges. I understand the fact that Benzema's not declining yet. I understand that you have Mbappe there too, and Vinicius. So it's like very convoluted. And there's injury concerns. I'm kind of okay with seeing City be the guinea pig for the first step after Dortmund to see how it goes. If he's healthy, I think it's going to just be ridiculous and lights out there. He's going to score a bunch of goals and they're going to get a bunch of assists around him. If he's injured, then I think there's going to be maybe a sigh of relief for those who didn't sign him. So we'll see. Let's just see how it goes. Because even if he's great for 5 years, he's still only 26.
He's still young.
He's still only 26 at that time. And it's an okay stepping stone. Obviously, if he's just lights out and City win like a bunch of titles with him, then, you know, whatever. I'm happy for him, I guess. But so that side of it was just, but the finances is still a little bit weird to me to see it.
Reasonable.
Yeah. Hey, Pooper. You have guests coming in, correct?
Correct.
How are you doing for time? Do you need to wrap it up here? We don't have that much on the schedule anyway. But there is a patron question. This patron question is 180 turn. So do you have anything else you wanted to address before we wrap it up with this question?
Well, just your thoughts on Mbappe and Al Khelaifi being in town, maybe.
What's there to think about? I mean, isn't it just...
Mbappe, come on, what's there to think? Mbappe was in Madrid, okay?
Yeah, so?
Now, there's a lot of rumors that Real Madrid might sign Mbappe. I don't know if you know. But so he was seen the other day in Madrid. I'm guessing not just to do some tourism with Ashraf and visit some pimp-ass restaurants. But
well, he probably wanted to be seen. Ramos was there too.
Maybe he wanted to be seen. Sure. Send a little message. While coincidentally, Al Khelaifi is also in town.
Sure. Come on. I mean, it was a day trip because he's back in Paris this morning. And I suppose I found it more funny than anything is because I just expect Mbappe to be a Real Madrid player next season. So if he's coming here to do some sightseeing, have some dinner, maybe look for a home, maybe Achraf and Sergio show him around town.
Hunting.
Yeah. So I was like, I just felt like this is just a normal procedure. And, but I suppose everyone lost their shit. Yeah. I do think it's really funny, though. I mean, this part is actually funny to me. But I get why they do it. But it's just a funny, funny world we live in that all the Spanish media was hands on deck. We got to write about this restaurant now. I mean, if you went to the homepages of Marca and AS yesterday, in their football section, there was articles of like, this is the menu of the restaurant. This is what you can get. Burger is this much money. this is how much it costs for a side. Actually, it didn't even seem that expensive, to be honest. I was expecting more expensive thing. It's just a funny world we live in.
I was expecting much expensive. Like golden burgers.
It was like 20 euros for a burger. I mean, that's not bad. It's not even like Gordon Ramsay territory or anything. So I just think it's a funny world we live in when that's what we get excited about. And quite frankly, they have to get excited about because that's what gets some clicks. I don't have any very Spanish other thoughts on it.
Because now, you know, people want to go there. It's good for the restaurant.
The restaurant is laughing. Good for local business. I mean, it was incredible for them.
Good for local business. Yeah.
So, I think Mbappe will just be announced after the season ends.
Okay, well, we'll look out for that day.
But I will ask you this. If you had an infinite amount of money, which for argument's sake, we'll just basically say Mbappe does. I mean, what else can you do with the amount of money you have? To me, that's infinite. Like what Mbappe has between that and also, and then just being a trillionaire, what else are you going to do with those extra trillions of dollars realistically in your lifetime? So to me, Mbappe, like that, when you're at that kind of money, it's basically enough money to do anything you want and retire. If you had all the money in the world,
giving back, giving back.
Yeah, sure. Giving back. But I mean, like, yeah. Okay. That's a different discussion. If you just had that money and it was like in the season wasn't even over still, you still were playing league games, would you just like be like, hey, you guys want to catch a flight and go to a restaurant in Madrid for a few hours? Do you think that's something you would do?
I mean, I've gone for a drink, if that counts.
Like on for a plane layover for a something. Drink? No. I'm saying, hey, let's look at the calendar today. Why don't we just catch a... But hey, boys, you want to catch a flight to another country?
Right.
Or this restaurant seems pretty cool. And then we'll come back tomorrow.
Yeah. Right.
I suppose Paris and Madrid is like, pretty quick.
But you take the train. You take the train. For example, you could, you know, in Holland, taking a day trip to Paris was not entirely uncommon, or Brussels. It's only, you know, a 2 to 4 hour train ride. So, or Switzerland, you know, you can go to Italy, France, Germany. Europe is the proximity of different cities and cultures and countries is so close that it's even plane. I mean, you know, when Ryanair and EasyJet and all those guys Vueling, sometimes you could get tickets for like $20 with tax, you know. Now you going back and forth in the same day, again, like more with the train, I see that happen, less with the plane. I've seen it happen.
It's a 2 hour flight from Paris to Madrid, which is pretty reasonable. It's like, I don't know, let's say Toronto to maybe New York or something like that. But for me, it's like, it's the time. It's like getting to the airport, sitting in the airport, through security.
But because it's so grand. Because you imagine it's so much more grand. Like in North America, you guys have, you know, airports the size of cities here. You know, if you're flying from, you know, Barcelona to Milan or, you know, in Amsterdam to Paris, let's say. Or Munich, whatever. You just imagine whatever your big European city. It's not that, like, you know, you're not suffering from any jet lag, any difference in hours. The airports are smaller. Going in and out within Europe is very easy. There's hardly any passport control checks or anything. You know, it's more like, okay, you got to be there an hour before your flight, technically. Even that, if you're not carrying any... If you're just carrying hand luggage and you're traveling by yourself, not your family, and then these motherfuckers that go private jet and everything.
Yeah, I completely forgot about the private jet aspect. It's not like Mbappe is like just sitting at a gate with regular people.
On his headphones.
I completely forgot about the aspect of the private jet. Yeah, okay. That changes things a little bit for sure. All right, well, you know, that's cool. I mean, I guess I found it more funny than anything the way we all reacted to it. And I just joked on Twitter like, oh, finally. Hakimi's brother is in Madrid to sign for the club after all these years. There's like, there was just nothing in it for me that was like, I just kind of looked at it as normal procedure. A human is moving cities in the summer. He's going to shop around town, see where the houses are, have his buddies who lived in Madrid before, who probably still have houses there. Ashraf and Sergio probably still have houses there. Probably just showing him around as well. Seemed like normal procedure stuff to me, but of course, we have to make a big deal out of it because those are the days where we make our money, right? That's how it works. Nice hat, by the way. I like your hat.
Oh, thank you. You like that big ass sweat stain? I can't wear this hat anymore. You don't see it now.
I can't see the sweat stain on Zoom. I see it now. Thank you for showing me. All right. There's a question here from our patron, Alberto Collado Gray. He says, hey, Keon, how's the book coming along? I've been reading up on the history of Bernabeu and his connection to the Civil War. Will you include any mention to that in it? What do you make of it? Book is about halfway done. And I will definitely touch on his connection to the Civil War in my book. But I will steer away mostly from the political side of things and just talk about what he had to do during the Civil War for the sake of the club.
I'm still waiting for your invitation to ask me to write the preface.
The foreword?
Yes.
I'm hopefully going to get an ex-player, but if I'm unable to do that, you can do it.
I'm going to hold you so much down to that. I'm going to hold you to that.
All right.
All right. You heard it here. It's on record. It's on wax.
Yeah. I got not much else. It's been pretty slow, actually.
Good, good. Slow's good. Life needs to be more often slow. Tell you what, it's not been slow in the world. Anybody out there following markets, may luck be on your side, fellow underdogs. May luck be on your side. Hang in there.
Is this crypto stuff again? Times. I still know
nothing. This is everything, man. The whole economy is crypto included. It's traditional markets. It's, you know, the S&P 500 is the NASDAQ. It's crypto. It's still correlated. But hang in there, you underdogs. Our day will come. Our day will come.
Good luck to all the underdogs out there. And we'll see you guys over on patreon.com/churrosytacticas on Friday, which will review some midweek games, maybe look ahead to the weekend and probably take more questions and maybe even discuss the new Champions League format. That's one thing we didn't have much time to do today, but we'll maybe do a deeper dive on that. So, Diego, thanks for chatting as always. We'll see you on Friday.
All right, bud.
Enjoy the sun. Yes. Take care, buddy. Peace.
Peace out. Peace out to the fellow underdogs.
Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.